Hi, it's really great to have you with us. I'm Rob Porter. My wife Heather and I have the amazing privilege of being the senior pastors at Kingdom Culture Church in Burpengary, Queensland. We have an incredible preaching team, and I hope that this message will encourage and bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah. How about a glory to God? Amazing. Please take your seats. Good to see everyone here. What a noisy crowd. Nothing like a noisy crowd. Good old evening crowd. And actually, I know there's a lot more here than admitted to being here for the second service. That was like a piddly little two that went, yay. There's a lot here, and I want to actually commend you. Because there is a love for the Word of God in this house. And I think it's something we want to value a lot. Dave mentioned in his giving message, what a great giving message, that the very first family, Adam, Eve, Cain, and Abel, what we need to realize is that God's plan for us is to live in family. He purposed family from the very start. Community was always in his heart. The triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they have community. And so he wanted that expression of community also in the earth. And then, of course, the very first family that the earth is released on the earth it malfunctions from the outset. Why did it malfunction from the outset? Because they actually didn't take heed to the core values that the Father had asked them to take heed to. See, we sang, we're not orphans anymore. Hallelujah. That sounded really false. We're not orphans anymore. So, that's a wonderful thing. Now, I can speak out of experience about adoption. I've adopted two wonderful children. But the fact is that no longer being an orphan is a lot more than just signing a piece of paper. Adoption is an adaptation into a family. So when when we were grafted into the household of faith through Jesus' death on the cross, salvation came to us. We were added into the family of God. That was the adoption. That was the signing on the dotted line. But the whole adaptation into the family of God is the life that we lead now and that we're walking in. So we really need to understand, yeah, we celebrate no longer being orphans, but actually the truth is our whole life is about being adopted in that sense, into learning the core values of the family that we've been adopted into, learning the heart of Father God for this family, rather than us coming in and saying, I want to change things around here, is actually us going, oh, I need to get with the program that Father God has got for my life. Now, I want to talk about Kingdom Culture Values. This is the first session of a preaching series for the next 4 weeks. And I want to talk about the core values that are fundamental to this church, Kingdom Culture Church. To the church, but to this church. So, core values are the fundamental Bible-based beliefs of a church. So, what we believe as a family. So, you as in your family unit, with your parents or your brothers and sisters, you might not realize it, but you rally around core values. You have core values. And whether they're good or bad, that's not the issue. You rally around those. You support them, you defend them, and you go after them because that's what keeps the family unit together. And so as a church, we rally around our core values, we chase after them, and we champion them. So when these core values are in place, and we'll have a look at what those are in a moment, they unlock our future and our destiny and our growth. That's what they're there for. They're not just for a rallying point. They're actually to bring us to a future that God has planned for us. But we need to understand that the future is only as good as the present day truth that we're all walking in. and we've talked a lot about this over the last 4 years, that your future is great, prophetic words are great, destiny and all of these good things are wonderful things, but if you're not walking in truth today, you will never, ever reach the potential that God has for you in your life. If you're walking in unreality, if you're not listening to the Holy Spirit, there is no way you can make it to where you need to go, which is why he's encouraging us to be linked in, to have relationship with the Holy Spirit and hear the Father speak to us, because Jesus only did the things that he heard the Father say for him to do. So our church values should guide our behavior and cause us to live like highborn kings, rather than soar like eagles, rather than running like turkeys. But what we need to understand, also our prophetic word, our destiny, all of those things are only reached from one point, and that's here, today, right now, right here, this day, today. What we value and build on today will either unlock or lock up the preferred future that God has for us. I'll say that again. What we value and build on today will either lock up or unlock the future that God has prefers for us to have. Core values should bring a sense of identity and purpose to us. They also influence our culture and our standards. We talk a lot about standards, don't we? In families, we talk about standards. You know, we don't have that standard in this family, or this standard is for... Now, what is a standard? Let's go back to the medieval ages, because that's where the word standard comes from. A standard was a flag that was on a pole in a battlefield, and when they raised the standard, the army rallied around that standard. They fought for that standard because it represented the values of the kingdom that they were fighting for, and the king that they were fighting for. When the standard began to fall, people lost courage. So when what God is saying to us is, hey, keep the standard, keep the core belief, raise them up, rally around them, and then people will rally around those. So it's a good visual picture. So there's this amazing exchange in Matthew 16 between Peter and Jesus. Peter suddenly sees who Jesus is. He has a revelation. Not in his natural mind, a revelation of the Spirit of who Jesus is. And what did he do? He declared him as the anointed one of God, the Son of God. Yes? Thank you. You're the anointed one. Now, not only did Peter, though, get a revelation of who Jesus was or is, he also got a revelation from Jesus of who he was. The truth of the gospel is that we don't just get a revelation of who Jesus is, but that we actually get a revelation of what God has called me to. He's called me out of the miry clay. He has called me out of a life of sin. He has set my feet upon a rock. He has set my feet to go up the mountain, that to go up the mountain in impossible places and walk on the high places with him. Amen. Amen. So, what did he say? Let's read the scripture. Jesus came back to Simon. He said, son of Jonah, you didn't get that answer out of the books when he said he was the anointed one. My Father in heaven, God himself, let you in on the secret. And I'm going to tell you who you really are. I believe we are a church where the Holy Spirit speaks to us often about who we really are. I need that. You need that in your daily life. In 2022, we need it more than ever. We need it more than ever. Peter, you are the rock, he said. Goes on. Drops down, you will have complete and free access to God's kingdom, keys to open any and every door, no more barriers between heaven and earth, earth and heaven. A yes on earth is a yes in heaven, a no on earth is a no in heaven. And everyone said, because that is very good news for us. Because what he's saying is, you are no longer limited to your own limitations, to your tiny mind, to your small, mean little heart. I have released you into all that you are meant to be in Christ Jesus. And not only that, when I did that, I gave you the keys to the kingdom. Now, what is important about a key? I've got some keys in my pocket. So, mobile phones. We consider mobile phones to be the most common object that everybody has in the world. But actually, I believe keys are far more common to all of us, and probably poorer people who do not have mobile phones. Here I have lots of keys, and I've got hundreds of keys at home that I don't even know what they're for, that I've been collecting them over my lifetime. Now, the thing about a key is, so remembering, Jesus said, I give you the keys to the kingdom. What's the importance of the key of a kingdom in relation to culture values? I'd like to explain that. So here is a key. It's unique. That one opens my front door. It's unique because it opens a unique lock. So what we have as a church in our core values will unlock our future, and they are unique to us. So I will give you a little locksmith lesson that I learned online. That you see these little lumpy bits? They're called bittings. Thank you, Heather. And you push this key into a lock, and there are pins like that. And when the key goes in, it pushes up the pins, causes them to come into an alignment, and then that releases the lock and opens the door. So my point is that there are mandates, core values on a church that release the blessing of God and the resources of the kingdom. These mandates are released by embracing the core values. So if you like, what are the bittings or the things that this church won't move on? Because it's really important that we understand what we value as a church will unlock our future. So we value the presence of God. I'm just going to reiterate a few. We value the presence of God. So what does that mean? We cherish and chase the presence of God through encounter. That is not just in this church building. In fact, this should be, in one sense, the least of our encounter is in this building. The most should be in the secret place with the King of Kings, one-on-one. Now, I have a seat at the table where my Father eats. I was talking this morning about not only do you eat there, you also have a voice, because it's a weird situation if you're having a meal with someone and nobody speaks. Generally, I've been in restaurants where you see other couples sitting. Have you ever been in a restaurant and you see other couples and they're just not talking to each other? They look really angry. And you think, oh, that's not getting off to a good start. Anyway, not sure I would go in there. But we value the presence of God. He says there's a seat at the table. Come in, commune with me. Number two, we value the work of the Holy Ghost. We hunger for the moving of the Holy Ghost in signs and wonders, but also the evidence of his presence working in believers' lives. Really important. We value prayer. We're building a church that is a house of prayer, not just in desire, but action. We're not there yet. We're building it, but we're going after it. We value the preaching of God's word and worship, and we put an equal value on both. We value our unique call. So we are not called to fashion ourselves after any other church. But our call is unique, but it is not elitist. So there are plenty of churches doing the good work of the kingdom. We need to champion them. We need to get behind them. But also we need to run in our lane and be confident of who we are and to embrace these core values, because the core values of Hillsong will not release my future or Kingdom Culture Church's future. The core values of Kingdom Culture Church will release the future and give us the keys to the future. And that is really... So Hillsong has a different key. It is not a lesser key, a higher key. It is a key. We have a key. It's not a lesser key or a higher key. It's a key. You have a key to your life. I have a key to my life. Blake's key is different to mine. It is stupid me comparing my key to his key and going, well, mine's superior. No, mine opens my front door. His opened his front door. That is it. So we need to understand we're not in competition, but actually we need to embrace the key that God has given to our lives. And we'll talk about that a bit more in a minute. We value community. We understand that while the term church identifies and locates us, so we are a church, that's wonderful. But actually all it says is you are a church. We are a church. Identifies, locates us, 6 Gleason Road. Yet our true calling is to do life together as a community of believers or family or a household of faith. So family and community is last on that list. But actually, the framework of family, the framework of community, gives the ability, a grounding for all of those other values. So this is why when we started looking at vision and so on four or five years ago, we said, Heather and I said, what we are about is family. If you have a strong, healthy family unit, not a perfect one, but a strong and a healthy one that is going in places, naturally good things will flow from that. So what does that mean? It means that your family unit, literally your family unit, the Sarah and Dan Ross family unit, is important to the life of Kingdom Culture Church. So when a couple get married, yes, they are marrying themselves, but in a sense, they are sending a signal to the world that A, they are devoted to each other, they are covenanted together, but also they're saying, hey, we want to build our lives on a rock, the rock Christ Jesus. We want to build a Christian marriage, and we want this marriage not to be selfish, but to actually build the kingdom of God. How does that look like? It looks like us being planted in a church, any church that they choose, in a church, and us affecting the church and the community for good. Your family unit matters. And I cannot express that more than I am now. Core values shape us. So just like a key is a unique shape, we need to understand this. If we allow other things, such as the world, or strife, or the pursuit of pleasure, to shape us, we become a different key that no longer works in the lock of our calling. So it is important what we allow to affect us and shape us. Over the last 4 years, we've put into place four core values. Vision focus, we call them at the beginning of the year. First one was family matters. Second one was culture creators. Third one was spirit without measure. Fourth one was room makers. So this is why we're doing this series, because I wanted us to go back, look at our foundations, make sure they were in place, make sure they hadn't shifted, making sure that we understand there are people that have joined the church over the last few years that haven't heard a lot of this. And so we're going to go back and go, hey, this is what you signed up to. So these are foundation stones that we want to make sure they're constant. So we're talking about DNA. Yeah. So if the above things, the culture creators, the room makers, the spirit without measure, and thank you, Family Matters, the one that I'm preaching on tonight, they need to be in my DNA. If they're not in my DNA, this is biology lesson 101, I cannot reproduce them. I will only reproduce the DNA that's in me. This is really important. We just had Christmas. Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. Jesus was born of the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit actually changed the DNA and produced Jesus. So added to her, but actually brought it, a heavenly DNA to earth. This means that as believers, we can either drag our old man around with us all our life long, or actually we can live according to the spirit man, which is a different DNA, and see that reproduced in our life. This is a very exciting thing. So I want to just lob a grenade into the middle of the crowd. Is that okay? So many people chase a church social life over settling into the reality of doing life as a family. And it's something that I think we need to be aware of, because we can get caught up in the social activity and yet actually never foster great relationships, never actually have a word for somebody and get out of our comfort zone. And not necessarily a strong word, hey, I've got a word from God for you, because what happens is our social structures and our relationships and our friendships become so what it's about that we actually forget, oh, we're actually here to build the household of faith. So, yes, I am here, and I love to play Catan with you, or to play Mafia and all of those things. But if that is all it ever is, and we do not care enough about each other beyond our game personas, we have a problem. Houston, we have a problem. Now, so we need to understand that we lean as human beings towards sleepiness and lethargy. We know that because only Caleb said amen. We lean towards sleepiness and lethargy. We drift towards what's easy. We drift towards convenience. It is not convenient for me to walk up to Rachel at the end of a service and she might be looking like thunder, or she might be looking like she's got the joy of the Lord all over her and she's charismatic as ever, and go, you know what, Rachel, I'd just like to pray for you. I want to bless you this week. We need to move beyond the outward appearance and move to and look on the heart, just like the Holy Spirit does. This is what is in our DNA. Okay, so family is our DNA. So every new addition to the family fits in and finds their place in the family structure. When you have baby number one, you kind of form your family. I just wanted to say something. A couple is a family. Thank you. A couple is a family. It's not when you add children. A couple is a family. That's the family of God. If you have the blessing of children added, that's an extended family. It starts to build. Couple number, they have their couple, they have the first baby, the second baby comes along, soon finds out it's not the king of the roost and actually has to fit in with that family. Now, doesn't mean that you don't stretch and grow and make allowances, but I need to be, what I'm saying here is if you're looking at making Kingdom Culture Church your home, you need to understand that we have DNA, we have core values, and we have things that we do and we don't do, and that's very right for us. What you need to decide is if it's right for you, and whether you can actually shape your key, yourself at being a key, to fit that. Or whether not. And that's absolutely fine as well. So yes, we expand and grow. Things will change in the sense of the look of things. That your core values never change. They just grow and strengthen and probably get added to. So the Bible talks about household of faith, Ephesians 2, 19 to 22. You're no longer wandering exiles. Can I get an amen? This is a really exciting scripture because what it's saying is, you used to wander around like no hopers, but now you have found a home. Yes. Family makes a home. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here, yeah, with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. God is building a home. He's using us all, irrespective of how we got here and what he's building. Oh, so he's building a home, a place that he's proud to show off and invite people into, using us. How do we view ourselves? Oh, a bit broken down, not much good. But actually God says, no, I'm building with amazing bricks. I'm building with amazing lives that have been redeemed. This is you. So he used the apostles and the prophets for foundation. Now he's using you, fitting in, you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone. Goes on to say, we see it taking shape day after day. I love this scripture. What an exciting scripture. What a promise of God for this church, Kingdom Culture Church in 2022. We see it taking shape every day. Every day. It doesn't matter whether a Sunday, we consider a Sunday to be a success or not. Now, I was watching the musicians up here tonight, so sorry, I'm going to call them out a little bit. And there was obviously something going on with Sam and Jacob trying to fix it, and I don't know what was going on. Now, you might go, oh, don't call it out. Well, no, what I'm saying is things go wrong, or things don't work, or I don't know. But the truth is, it's not about that. It's actually about what the Holy Spirit is building day after day after day. And what's it say? We see it taking shape day after day. The thing is, we talk about shapeshifters, or maybe we don't, I don't. But shapeshifters, whatever they are, I don't even really know what they are. But the truth is, well, that's what we're called to be. We need to shift our shape according to the Holy Spirit and be molded according to the Holy Spirit. Rather than say, come and fit into my life, it's actually I come and I fit into your plan, your purpose for my life. So he says, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. A place where God is quite at home is a place that people are attracted to. We need to understand this. Really important, church will never replace your family's ability to impact the world that you live in. Church is not designed to overtake the family. Church is designed for the families to flourish and be in a healthy environment so you can have the best family unit you can have. This is really important. The church family is as strong and healthy as the people or the families that it's made up of. Let's read a challenging scripture. But if any provide not for his own, 1 Timothy 5:8, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Strong language. Infidel. Infidel. We hear that come into our language sort of through ISIS and how we are viewed as infidels. But God is making a point. Timothy is making a point here. The Holy Spirit is making a point here is that you provide for your own. So you are the key for your own family. Stop. If you're a kid and your parents are dysfunctional, stop looking to them to put it right. Start to move in the blessing that you are. Be the key that unlocks the blessing of God that removes the dysfunction. Now, yes, you have limited. In one sense, you're limited, but through the Holy Spirit, you are unlimited. If your marriage is dysfunctional, be the key that unlocks the future, the blessing of God over your marriage. Be that key. That's what he's speaking to us tonight. Because he says, if any provide not for his own, what does that mean? The word provide means to plan and to bless. To plan, to bless, to make provision for. What do you contribute to your family? We normally have, we do have a bigger young adult congregation in the evening. I want to ask you very seriously, what do you contribute to your family? What is your gospel? What's the gospel that you bring to your family? Is it just word? Is it just I'm a believer? Or is it I mow the lawns, I wash dishes, I cook meals, I wash my own dirty underpants? I don't expect you to run around after me. I actually want to run around after you, Mum and Dad, a little bit and give back to you what you have put into my life. Not the loudest amen. Amen. But the truth is, this is what it means to be family. Because you want family to happen to you. You want to not grow up and be the adult. You want your mum and your dad to continually be your mum and dad. The biggest shock in the world that came to me was when I realized that my mum and dad couldn't protect me from the world. They could protect me in the unit in one sense, but they couldn't protect me from everyday life. The truth is, God is adulting us, growing us up, and saying, be the key to the future that you are looking to your parents to be for you. You be that. You unlock, you bless, you be those that bless the house rather than suck the house dry. And really, who gives a monkey's that you're a prophetess to the nations? If your family is a shamily. Your gift is just smoke on the wind from a fire that's already gone out. The truth is, what we get out of 1 Corinthians 13 is that what is left is not prophecy. Prophecy will pass away, but love is left. Where do you find love? In a family. So many people are actually bypassing what God has put them in, the circumstances that they put them in. They're trying to pray away the circumstances that they've been put in and say, I don't want these circumstances. I want my future in God. When actually the unlocking of the future in God is found in your family unit. We're great at sending missionaries to foreign lands to spread the love. We're great at raising up people to shine on platforms. We're great at getting people to chase after their prophetic words and dreams. We're great at raising up worshippers who dazzle from the stage and in the crowd. But what the heart is of Heather and myself and the leadership team and the people in this church is that we actually champion people to spread the love, shine, dazzle, and chase the prophetic in and for their families. This is what it's about. Because it starts in the family. Jesus didn't come to abolish the family, he actually strengthened the family.
Thanks so much for taking the time to listen to today's message. Our hope is that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If not, we'd like to invite you to begin your journey with him today. When we read scripture, we see that sin separates us from God, but that our relationship with God is restored by salvation through Jesus Christ. This happens because God gave Jesus his son to die in our place, to deal with the sin problem, and he rose again so that we can have eternal life with him. If we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, we can know salvation today. If you're ready to do that and turn from a life of sin, then pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. Amen. If you've prayed this prayer for the first time today, we would love to know and reach out to you and support you. So please contact us at hello@kingdomculturechurch.com.au.